Lord, thank you for the time of singing where we actually sing about what you've done and praise you for it. And now we consider your word. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There are stories in the Old Testament that are beautiful pictures of what we gather to remember today on this Good Friday. And one of those stories is found in Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus chapter 17, the nation of Israel has been redeemed from Egypt. And you probably remember the story. God sent Moses to deliver his people. Pharaoh was stubborn, completely unwilling to let the nation of Israel go free. So the Lord struck Egypt and Pharaoh with 10 plagues. Finally, Pharaoh let them go free. But then he changed his mind and began to chase them. And of course, that's when the Lord opened the waters of the Red Sea and his people crossed through. And then those waters came crashing down upon the Egyptian army, and Israel had gone free, and it was this awesome, mighty deliverance, wonderful event in the nation of Israel. Well, now you have about 2.5 million people walking around in the wilderness. People get hungry in the wilderness. People get thirsty in the wilderness. People get tired and cranky in the wilderness. And as the story goes in Exodus chapter 17, it says, "Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' So Moses said to them, 'Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, 'Why is it you've brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me.'" So you can understand the situation. You have 2.5 million people in the wilderness. There's no water. You have men, women, children, toddlers, infants, the elderly, out in the wilderness without water. Very dangerous situation. You can live without food for several weeks. We know that Gandhi survived 21 days of complete starvation. Our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and still survived. But water's a different thing. You can't live without water. At least 60% of the adult body is made of water. And every living cell in the body needs it to keep functioning. The absolute maximum time that an individual can go without water seems to be about a week, but 3 to 4 days is more typical. You can die of thirst in 3 to 4 days, especially if you're in the wilderness. So they're thirsty. But they've also gotten kind of ugly about it, haven't they? They're lashing out at Moses. The text says that they contended with Moses. That's an ugly word. It means that they're verbally assaulting Moses. It says that they complained against Moses. That's the word that means to murmur. It speaks of rebellion, disbelief, and disobedience to duly constituted authority. They're criticizing Moses. They're getting ugly with Moses. Can you hear them? They're saying, way to go, Moses. Great job, Moses. Good planning, Moses. Why did you take us all out into the wilderness? To kill us by thirst? We should have stayed in Egypt as slaves. Great job, Moses. And apparently they're even threatening Moses. Moses cries out to God, these people are about ready to stone me. Now we can understand thirst, we can understand need. But these people have become very ugly, disrespectful, loud-mouthed, lashing out, backbiting. They're desperate. And in their desperation for satisfaction, they become ugly. And you know, that type of attitude doesn't help anything, does it? It never improves the situation. I can see Moses sort of thinking, you know, even if I had water, I wouldn't give you any. What's the matter with you? And really, they're complaining against God. They're murmuring to God. How quickly they've forgotten how good God had been to them. How they had been delivered from Egypt, how they had gone through the Red Sea. Before Exodus 17, you read that God already has miraculously taken care of them as far as food. He's providing manna. That on another occasion, he's already provided water for them miraculously. But here, they've forgotten all that. Now, in this story, God is so gracious. God could have said to Moses, you know, let's teach these people a lesson. Let's make these people wait a couple days for water until they settle down and get some faith. Let's make them do something to earn this water. But no, God immediately responded to their need. And he provides water for them in just a very interesting way. Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So God said, Moses, let's go for a climb. You take some of your elders, take your rod. See that rock? We're going to travel to that rock. And God literally says, I'm going to stand on the rock before you. And when I give the word, Moses, strike that rock. So God gives Moses the word. And Moses strikes the rock. And immediately the rock is broken. And springing forth is a gushing, torrential river of life. And all of the people who were so thirsty came and drank. I'm sure it went downstream and even created pools. I picture people jumping in, diving in, mouths wide open, swimming, enjoying life, being absolutely refreshed. And I'm certain that they all became a lot more civil after that. In fact, I'll bet, they were even a little bit embarrassed about how they had behaved. From thirsty, ugly, mean-spirited people to satisfied, refreshed, kind, loving people, because of a stricken rock. What a picture. That is a picture of the gospel. The human race, my friend, is a thirsty race. We are looking for satisfaction. We are looking for meaning. We are looking for something to fill our empty souls. We are looking for something that answers all the big questions in life. Why am I here? How did I get here? What is the purpose of life? Is there more than this life? Where am I going when I die? We are thirsty. Like the guy on TV says, stay thirsty, my friend. You don't have to try to stay thirsty. You are thirsty. The human race craves meaning and satisfaction. And the problem is we look for satisfaction in money or wealth or fame or relationships or the pleasures of this world. The human race goes all over the place drinking from pools, trying to get that thirst quenched. But no matter what you might try in this world, it never completely satisfies your thirst. In fact, it might help for a little bit, but you'll finally understand that you're still thirsty. And you know what happens to a lot of thirsty people? A lot of thirsty people who are trying to go out and get that satisfaction filled. They get frustrated because it doesn't happen. And you know what happens? They become mean-spirited, ugly, apathetic, bitter, hurting other people in their lives. Just like we saw in Exodus chapter 17. I want you to know this afternoon that you can only find satisfaction in a relationship with God. Only. Nothing else can satisfy you. You were created by a God who loves you. We were created to know Him. You only find that meaning and that purpose in a relationship with God, in being right with God. And so it's very important that we are right with God, that we become children of God, so we know the purpose of life and we experience that. The only problem is, in order to get right with God, your sins have to be washed away. For the scripture says very clearly, God is holy and perfect, and we are imperfect. We are sinful. And our sins separate us from God. Our sins keep us out of a relationship with God. Our sins have to be forgiven. They have to be washed away. God has to move and make it possible for us to be forgiven because we can't do it on ourselves. Paul the Apostle tells us something very, very interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to read it to you, but it gives great insight into the story that we just read in Exodus chapter 17. Listen carefully. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. The smitten rock in Exodus chapter 17, which provided living water for the people, is symbolic of Christ. On Good Friday, we remember the rock of our salvation. On Good Friday, Christ was stricken. Jesus was broken. We sit here and we contemplate and remember and try to imagine the physical sufferings that Jesus experienced. Remember, he was beaten, he was scourged. 39 lashes on the bare back. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his skull. His hands and his feet were nailed to a wooden cross. He was struck, beaten. Blood poured out. As bad as the physical suffering was for Jesus, the worst suffering for Jesus on the cross was the spiritual suffering. For you see, on the cross, he took care of the sin problem. The scripture says that at the cross, Jesus became sin for us. Our sins were placed upon him. On that cross, he was enduring the judgment and the punishment, the death that we deserved. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, a torrential river of salvation and forgiveness burst forth. Living water. Scripture says that if you will place your faith in Christ, all of your sins will be forgiven. You will become a child of God. You will enter into the family of God. And my friend, listen, you will find that satisfaction and that meaning and that purpose in life that you so crave. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And all of this by grace. Did any one of us deserve this? God was so gracious in Exodus chapter 17. He says, "Yeah, I know they've messed up. I know they're complainers. I know they've gotten very ugly and nasty, but I'm going to bless them with water. I'm going to strike a rock." Gospel message is that we cannot save ourselves. We do not deserve to be saved, but God in his grace struck his son that we might be forgiven. Beautiful. Salvation is made available to us freely. You don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. You have to receive it. Christ stricken for us, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven. Have you done that? Have you received the living water? It's interesting, the story in Exodus chapter 17 ends this way. "So he," Moses, "called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" Moses memorialized that place. He gave it a name. Where the water was struck and the living, or where the rock was struck and the water came out, he memorialized that place. And he was telling us, "We're going to remember this place." I want you to know that that's what the communion service is. It's a memorialization of what Christ did for us at the cross. The bread and the juice represent his broken body and his shed blood. It's here that we as Christians sit at the table and remember the cost of our salvation. Just a few moments, we're going to distribute these elements. Hold on to them. Handle them. Look at them. We will all partake together, but in the meantime, while you're waiting, allow those elements to remind you of what Jesus did for you. And then also it needs to be said that this is for believers. Communion is for those who understand what they represent. It's a family meal, as it's been called, members of the family. If you don't know Christ, you're not supposed to partake of this. But you can change that right now. What better time than ever than on Good Friday, finally understanding exactly what the essence of the gospel is, receiving it. On Sunday, we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus did not stay dead. Amen. After paying that cruel price, he rose again, and he is alive. And you can be forgiven because he's alive. I want to invite you today, if you've never done so, before we partake of communion, to receive the living Lord Jesus. I believe Jesus is right here in our midst. And I want to give you that opportunity. Let's dim the lights. Let's have the guys who are going to help me distribute come up. I would ask that you'd stay in a very, very quiet attitude of reverence. Father, we thank you for living water this afternoon. The water of salvation that gushes forth because of what you accomplished through your Son. And Lord, as your people gathered here today, we rejoice in what you've done. And Father, I'd also like to pray for anyone here this afternoon who has never received you. I don't know what brought you to this service this morning, but it's by no accident. A friend at work invited you, family member. Here you are. My brother, my sister, have you had your sins washed away? Are you benefited by what Christ did for you 2,000 years ago? Are you a recipient? Take it right now. Receive it. Just in the quietness of your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. I admit that I am a sinner and I need my sins forgiven. Wash all my sins away. Thank you for dying on my behalf. Thank you for your great sacrifice. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Give me eternal life. Okay, as I said, we're going to distribute, and I would ask that you would hold on to it, and we'll all partake together. worship the Lord. It's Good Friday. Sit before the Lord. Pause. Praise Him. Thank Him. Rededicate your life to Him. Come to Him. Man, what a holy moment. You're so good to us, Lord. Your sacrifice is amazing. I'm going to have a couple of our elders come up and pray before we partake of each element. Bruce, why don't you come on up?
Father, as we come today, Lord, and remember what you have done for us on the cross, how your body was broken and beaten for us. Lord, we can't even fathom what happened that day on the cross. It's too much for us, Lord. But Father, you sent your Son, and he willingly stayed on that cross to die for us, and his body was so broken and beaten, and we praise him for that, Lord. And we just remember this time and ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to remember it always, not just this day, but for the rest of our lives. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take together.
Heavenly Father, thank you, as Bruce said, for what you did for us. Help us live our lives every day appreciative of what you did for us. And as Terry said earlier, we really didn't deserve it. But we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you for your unconditional love. And we thank you for your faithfulness. Even when we're not faithful, Lord, you're always faithful. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take together, brothers and sisters. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen?
Amen.
Do we have a God who's amazing? Who doesn't just say that he loves us, but actually proved that he loved us in the most amazing ways, giving his life. Christian, I want you to leave this service with a new perspective. Maybe you've been down. Maybe you've been going through some hard things. Maybe you've even questioned whether or not God loves you. He does. Don't ever forget it. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Look what he's done for you. Trust him. Go forth with joy. Let's stand. We're going to close with a final song. And if you wouldn't mind, you could pass your cups into the middle parts of the aisle, and these guys would be glad to grab those for you. Let's finish with the closing psalm of praise.